Blog Talk Radio. Well, believe it or not, I always hate it when the song ends because I like listening to the music. And then somehow the dogs that live outside my window, which are not mine, seem to be coordinated with the beginning of the show every day. So if you hear them in the background, that's why. Thank you, Lord, for being with us today. We know you're with us every day. And we live and walk with you. And we live in your guidance and just guide us again, as you always do. And thank you for this opportunity to share fellowship, our relationship with you, which we also share with each other. We look forward to it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I am going to go ahead and open up a couple of phone lines. And I think, if I get this, remember this right, is this Ben?
Yeah. Hello.
How you been?
All right. Happy Elopture Day.
I hope so. Man, it's pretty. It's. I want to go play. I have feet. Yeah. I have faith like a little child, and I want to go play.
Yes.
It's just like that. Anything else going on today?
For me, no, not really. But I mean, I just, you know, for me personally, I woke up today feeling like $1 million. I don't know why. I got something off my chest last night, and I ain't got a clue what exactly it was. But, you know, I'm really excited about the Lord's return, because, like, right now I'm just at the point where, like, I'm not even thinking about the future right now. Like, usually I'll just have, like, a little glimmer of, like, what if we're still here 2 months? You know, in my mind, I'm not even thinking that right now. Just happy, like, yeah, you know, so much is going on. And then today, you know, is the 21st of the Julian calendar. Remember what Roman said? I mean,
sure.
I'm not basing
sure.
everything off of what he said, but I'm just saying I'm excited because, you know, he's coming soon. So.
Me too. Yeah, I hear you. I agree exactly. It's, you know, it's right here. Today, I got a chance to listen to Jonathan Kleck's show, and I didn't think it was possible, but he found yet another level of urgency. And so, I mean, we're all feeling it, and those of us who are really watching, and it's an exciting time, but also one of wonder, and we'll have to see how he goes. I think I see Judy on the line. Judy, is that you?
Hi, Terry. Hi, everybody. I'm just listening. I'm at Target getting some clothes for my little nephew. And I love you guys. I'll be in chat after we get home from Target. So love you, chat. Love you, RCC. And I can't wait to keep listening. So keep on. Carry on, my love. Bye, Terry.
Okay. Bye. And I think I see Thomas on the line. Let's see.
I'm here.
Thomas? Oh, hi, Tom. How are you?
Yeah. Hey, I'm good.
That's good. You have anything good going on today or just chilling?
Well, I went to bed last night really late because I was, like, talking on this, like, this chat thing that I downloaded. It's, like, an online chat. And there was, like, I just went in there, and I was, like, Jesus is coming. I was just, like, telling everybody, and then they're, like, and then it ended up turning into, like, almost 30 people in the chat, like, joined. And they're, like, talking about, like, how the world's has gotten so corrupt and stuff like that. And I was, like, yeah, Jesus is, like, coming and stuff. And then I actually got this one, like, kid. He was saying he was atheist, and then he was, like, at the end, he was, like, I'm going to follow you. He's like, I'm going to follow you. And I was like, thanks. I thought that was
cool.
Awesome.
That's cool.
Awesome. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You know, honestly, I have seen, even when not talking about end time things or the stuff we see in the news every day, I just see a spirit in the younger generation, which is a little more mature, than what I'm used to seeing in successive generations. And I'm not a super old fart, but I mean, I've seen a few generations, and I think, you know, people aren't stupid, and they can see things and they can understand intuitively when certain things or the combination of things are being shown to make sense. So that's really cool, Thomas, because, you know, you just threw a lifeline out to a lot of people, and it will make sense to them at the right time.
Yeah.
Yeah, they need help because they sure are not going to be able to find it during the conventional means nowadays, you know?
Yeah, there's a couple kids in there that were just like, they wanted to like agree with me, but at the same time they were just like calling each other stupid, and I was just doing what Jesus would do, and they're just like, "You're stupid, you're atheist, you're dumb." Now it's just keeping them cool.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, everybody's got their own language, but and you know, the other thing is, not everyone hears the same or respond to the same approach. And that's why we're so diverse. That's why God uses so many different messages. It's because some people respond to fear. Some people respond to love. You just need to crack that door open, and the Lord will do it for whomever it is. But it's not always the same method for everyone. So, and that's why I think we're going to see successive waves of basically rapture. I also think we're going to see successive waves of revelation, sort of peeling back the onion layer of truth as God moves through these end times, so that more and more people will have an opportunity to kind of turn to Him and recognize what's real. But we do not know how quickly that will take place. It might happen over a very short period of time, or it might take as long as what some other people are thinking, but I happen to think it's going to come over a much shorter period of time than certain people might expect based on some prophetic things. I think I see Alana on the line. Alana, is that you? I think it is. I think I saw her there. I also saw her in chat.
This is me. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. I'm chilling today. I had I don't know what it was, but it was an out of the ordinary day. So I'm happy to chill, lay back, pretend, you know, take it like it's the weekend, and just see what comes.
I just want to say hello, church. Hello, chat room. And I also wanted to say, for me, this is a day that I've really looked forward to. This is Yom Kippur.
Mm-hmm.
And I had so looked forward to just drinking in this day. Now, initially, I had, you know, approaching this day, I had been saying, well, what do I need to do? I mean, if I read the text, I need to afflict my soul somehow, you know. and what I was getting was, nah, you kind of don't need to do that. But today, as I was reflecting, you know, because none of us are walking around in spotless garments. I mean, as long as we believe we are, we're missing a tremendous opportunity. And I listened to a few videos that really helped me to reflect on the places that my garment might have been stained, or I might still be staining my garment. And I was too amazed. It was not stuff that I would think of. I would think, you know, murder, stealing, you know, yada, yada, yada. I thought, oh, I dealt with that stuff years ago. And actually, what God was gracious enough to reveal to me was that it was not what I thought was, I guess you could call it mortal sin. It was more tendencies of temperament that I was writing off as, well, I'm just a human being and, you know, I've got a history and a way of, you know, I am who I am. And I began, and he, oh my God, he showed me the ways in which I, by clinging to these ways that I thought were just, you know, human being things, was actually, I was getting in my own way. And, you know, I could have said, oh, God, I put all my faith and trust in you. You can remove these from me. And I was like, I'm sorry, kiddo. You've got to take responsibility for this, too. You know, God is just not going to lift this crap off of you. You know, this is not like some mortal sin. This is your baggage. And you need to recognize that you got baggage and you can't do it alone, but you can't expect him to do it for you. It was wonderful. It was remarkable. It was a true blessing because I was just really looking in that glass darkly and saying, okay, what do I need to see about myself? What do I need to know? What's getting in the way? So I just wanted to share that with you. I mean, I did ask him a few times. I'm not going to lie. I did ask him a few times. Yo, give me a date, yo. I mean, what is this thing with the blood moon? Is this this? Is this that? Yada, yada. But I was, like you were saying last night, I wasn't exactly getting a clean slate on that.
Yeah.
So it was
tough. Well, yeah. We just need to, it's funny how these things play out through us. And I think there's different stages of accepting his grace and his provision for setting these things aside. It's not always as automatic, it's just like it's a lot easier to give advice to somebody else than it is to take your own advice for yourself. Because when you do it yourself, it seems so much more complicated. But from his point of view, it's pretty simple. And we just need to work ourselves through it. And, you know, a lot of times that does take a stage or two to embrace all of that and really drop all of our baggage off. And a lot of times we just need to see that we've done it, I think. You kind of live it, and then you know it's been done.
I don't know if it's ever done as long as we are human beings on the world. For me, not necessarily for anybody else.
I see what you're saying,
But for me, and I've always been one of those strange people in RCC that said, yeah, I'd like him to come, but I'm having so much fun learning where I am that I kind of, he's taking me through such a living relationship that I am having a ball with this every single day. Even when he's showing me, you know, you really, you know, you could fix this right here. You know, because it's not like you've been walking around with a pure garment for the last 8 months. I mean, come on.
You know, that's funny because when you're saying that, who it reminds me of is Judy, because she's got all this stuff going on and all these different challenges around her, which she accepts. She knows it's part of the deal. And, you know, she, while they present challenges for her, she's also loving living in the moment because she knows he's so in it. And she has positive expectations of what he's going to do through the challenges that he's allowed in her life. And she's always looking at the light at the end of the tunnel, if you will. And that's kind of what you're saying, you know. You're enjoying the process and knowing that he's doing good things with these challenges that you see around you. That's very cool.
Oh, such a living process that I'm not watching the clock.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting you mentioned that, because I've been in a place the last few days where I kind of have been watching the clock, but I haven't really felt like doing it, if that makes any sense. You know, I haven't had the compulsion to do it in the last few days, even week, that I have had previously to do that. And I've wondered about it, actually, because I've noticed the change, but I wasn't sure what to make out of it. But I totally relate to what you're saying. Although the funny thing is, I've just been in the garage just as the show was starting here and fact-checking something that I thought I noticed yesterday but got distracted right away from. And I'm just going to lay it out there. It's a total change. I don't know. Did you have anything else you wanted to add to that? You really did. That's what you said was really nice. I don't want to cut you off.
Oh, not at all. You know something? I love garage fumes.
I really do.
But, you know, I was just wanting to add aid and comfort to anyone who was really, you know, aching through the day that, oh, yes, yes, we are aching, but all of this process can be so wonderful and beautiful and transformative. So I just wanted to comfort my garage kid colleagues. Take it away.
Yeah, there you go. No, that's cool. Well, you know what I think I'm going to do before I get into that? I'm going to open it up a little bit, because actually our several people have called in and I haven't opened up the lines yet. I think we have Sarah Bell. Sarah Bell, it's so nice to see you on a regular basis. We love that.
Hi, guys. Yeah, I'm just loving to be around a lot.
That is really cool. Anything new and different in your world?
Not really, just washing.
Yeah.
So ready. I think I'm experiencing the reverse of what was just explained. It's like, I do quite enjoy this, and I'm like, I would also enjoy it up there. But yeah.
Yeah, you know, I was just having a conversation with my middle daughter, who's high school age, and I was sort of, we were going back and forth, and I was just prompted to mention that, you know, the more we get into him, the less the junk of the world is really interesting. And, you know, Lana is talking about, you know, her personal journey of growth and exploration. But where the world's concerned, I think most of us, you know, the more we experience directly with him, the less we're sort of interested in a lot of these ancillary things around us, although some of us do have callings, you know, still to interact in the world. But I said, you know, it reminds me, I was trying to find a way to describe it to her, and I said, you know, it's like a senior walking through a hall full of freshmen. They're like, I just don't want to be bothered.
Right.
So I think some of us have adopted kind of that. I know I have adopted that kind of attitude, except in specific instances where he wants us to interact. But then we've got such a rich experience here, so many different things and testimonies going on within our group. It's just so awesome. So awesome. So I'm really loving it. Okay, let's see who else we have here. We have Mama Pat.
Hi, everybody. How you doing? Love you.
Yeah, hi. How are you?
Love you, too.
Okay. Listen, Keith sent me a word to read. It's very short. It's only a paragraph. I think you're all going to like this. It was on Facebook. And it says, my children, the end of all things is here. I am getting ready to change your mortal to immortal. I know some of you have felt like giving up. You lost your hope. Some of you have even given up. I see the struggles that you are going through, but have hope. Your redemption is here. All these things I have spoken of, it is time. They are here. They will start happening, and you will see it's just like I have said, be strong and have courage, for I am equipping you. Hey, good message.
That's really awesome. You know, I have a little tease that's very much along those lines I'll get into here in a minute.
Sure.
But, you know, we all love Jesus here, but nobody says it better than Tana.
I love you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
We love you. We worship you. And thank you for this amazing day, for one more day to gather on earth. But we are looking forward to gathering in heaven, Lord Jesus. We love you. But we were ready to go together and gather in heaven under our RCC tree on the island where we can chill. We love you, Jesus.
Also pizza.
And Mama comes pizza. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you. We worship you. We love you, Jesus. We love you. We love you. We love you. And I love you all online and everyone in chat.
Amen.
But hi, everybody.
Hi. Well done, Tom. We love it.
That's very sweet, honey.
Yeah.
Jesus is a cheerleader. I was a cheerleader in high school, so it doesn't make sense, I guess. yeah. So, I was in the garage a little bit. I've been in the garage a while ago, and just, you know, how the whole Joel, it's a Joel, and I know it's in Revelations as well for the sixth seal about the moon or the sun turning dark and the moon turning to blood or whatever.
Right.
So I'd watched Scotty Rhythm or whatever has a blood moon video out. So this is the thing. So we have our blood moon coming up on October 8th, and then there is a full solar eclipse on, I know no one wants to hear it, but on April 4th, and then there's a blood moon to follow on May 20th. So then I was thinking, so that fits scripture of then the, you know, about the signs and everything, the moon, the sun turns dark and the moon turns to blood. But then the Lord had me research, we've already had a solar eclipse in April of this year. So we've already had that ring of fire solar eclipse back in April of this year. So technically we've already fulfilled that and we're now at the blood moon part. And I believe God was telling me that it was that one counted. It wasn't the one coming up in 2015, but it was the one already that happened as far as the moon or the sun turning black. So anyway, so that was my garage day.
Yeah, the thing that was interesting about that solar eclipse is it wasn't widely seen. You had to be in Antarctica to see it in its fullness. But the thing is, it was an annular eclipse, which is very much like the one that occurred not too long after our fearless leader's election, if I recall correctly. And it looks like a big O because you've got this literal ring of fire around the moon, which blocks out the bulk of the sunlight, but appears just small enough to allow the edge of the sun all the way around it. It makes a big red zero. Zero is a good word for it. In the sky. So, Tana, that's really pretty interesting. I think there's so much going on right now. I wonder how much exactly we're going to be able to unscramble it, but I have a couple of clues. And I'll just let you know, wait a minute before I get into that. We need to have, see, the one thing we don't do every day, but at least once a week, we usually get the red heifer livestock report. And usually we get that from Keith. So we'll see if Keith is there with our red heifer livestock report.
Jerry, just real quick, I have an important phone call coming in, so if I click off, it means I had to take the call. I just want to let you know.
Okay. Okay, love you.
Bye.
Okay.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Keith.
Hi, Keith.
Hey.
Hey, Keith.
Love you. There was there's three new Ebola cases in the U.S. There's one out of Washington. There's one in some prison somewhere. I forget the state. And one in Maryland. I guess these
I
want to
say Georgia.
I think it was Georgia. Yeah, these hospitals are saying that these individual patients are having the same symptoms as the Ebola patients, and so they're flagging them as Ebola. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I really, really want the authorities to explain to me how a prison inmate can have Ebola.
Thank you. I was just thinking that.
Good point, huh? Yeah.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah.
And then,
frankly, any serious disease that isn't normally in the system.
Yeah. You're right.
You're right.
I know, you probably got out of there. ISIS says that they're going to infect some of their jihadists with Ebola because they've had some
that's
deaths
really silly.
From
ridiculous.
Ebola. So
you know what? Speaking of ISIS, I just saw something that says that like they're threatening to take an Indianapolis native as their next victim, which is really awful. But at the same time, some part of my heart like got super excited because that's where I live. I mean, we're so out of here, and I know it.
Mm-hmm.
I just know
it.
Oh,
wow.
They want to send the jihadists over to our country that have Ebola. They want to infect them on purpose and then send them over here. Increase it.
Yeah.
Crazy.
There are possibly 80 cases at Penn State University as well.
Yeah, the Penn,
what?
Right. Well, yeah. Yes, 80 people that were in the area of the Ebola victims.
Oh, yeah, right. Oh, Dallas, yeah.
Yeah.
So, so they were all, like, I guess they were all over in Africa, these 80 students, separately or whatever. I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
Possible. Not confirmed, but possible Ebola. They have some symptoms that they're quarantining. So, Chris Nicholson, it's in your area now. It's in your state.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
The Texas guy is really sick, too. He's in critical. The guy in Dallas.
Yeah, I see that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yes.
I see that. Yeah.
I'm tracking the events because from my angle on watching for the rapture, from my angle, the Lord is constantly giving me visions and different things, but edging me on to keep real tight on the events. And the two events that I'm tracking the most are Ebola, since he told me it was the pale horse that's riding, and the second one would be, of course, the peace treaty, which my good friend Paul Marie has been tracking for me, doing all the wonderful research. So I'm tracking those two really tightly because those two are, God keeps telling me those two will tell us down to the minute when we're going to go. So I'm watching
this. Yeah. Yeah, actually, Keith, I'm going to throw out there, well, I mentioned it kind of once before, but, you know, I'm listening to you and trying to put it in the context of the things he's told you. And I would say if there is a peace treaty moment, if you will, that I believe it's going to represent the unleashing of a lot of judgment on Israel, because the only way they will get to a signed peace document of any kind is if they give up a substantial portion of the sovereignty of the land and their own existence that the Lord has provided them. And when they, and this is what the Arabs have been trying to do since the beginning of Israel, is put in place the curse of Balaam and Balak, where, you know, they were trying to get the prophet to curse Israel, God kept telling him, you can't. And so they conferred with the prophet, and the prophet said, okay, get your women to marry into the Israelites, and then God will curse them and condemn them himself because they will have forsaken their covenant with him.
Wow.
And this is exactly what the Arabs have been trying to do all along, and that's why it's always land for peace, land for peace, land for peace.
Yeah, and that's what, basically Obama's talking to Netanyahu, he's telling him, which is exactly the whole reason why they will sign the peace treaty, is he's telling them, we'll protect you if you go back to 67 borders, which is what they're talking about right now. So, but always for that protection. You know, basically Netanyahu wants to know that the U.S. will protect him for sure, no matter what, against Iran and all the other stuff, and then in return they'll be happy to sign it. But, of course, you know, we're telling them we're going to protect him, and then we're lying, of course. So they'll be fooled into that hole, and then they'll be attacked because of it, because they were fooled, you know.
Right. And for comparison's sake, I think most of us know this, but biblically and, you know, according to God's promises, the Israelites, the Hebrew nations, never possessed the full scope of the land, the promised land that God had provided to them, because they failed in the end to vanquish the last tribes, which God told them very specifically to do. So they have never, ever fully encompassed the entire promised land. And so anything they give away is a very strong thumb in the eye to the covenant God has with them. And he won't completely forsake them, but they will pay dearly if they sign on the dotted line, and it will be immediate. We've heard so much recently by Jonathan Kahn and so on about the covenant and the judgments and the harbingers regarding the United States and the way the U.S. congressmen and senators went to New York and proclaimed all these verses in the Bible, which is an absolute, literally proclaiming or attempting to proclaim a curse on this nation by enacting a biblical scenario from history. And the same thing is probably even more particularly true for Israel if they forsake any of the land that they have gained. Because don't forget, there have been a lot of programs and a lot of testimonies about how in their wars God has done miraculous things in each of their wars to protect their soldiers and give them supernatural victories. And so those victories that they achieved were part of God's providence and blessing over that nation. And if they give up anything that they've gained, which incrementally they already have a little bit, but if they do some ceremonial thing and give it up with an agreement for peace, they're saying, God, we don't trust you for our peace, but we'll trust the Arabs for peace. You know, you can't get more offensive to God than that.
Hmm.
And this is why the Arabs have been...
The Bible is very clear about two-thirds of Israel is going to be wiped out. I know people don't read that or pay attention to that, but God's going to protect Israel. God's going to protect Israel. He is. However, there's a price to pay for, giving into the Antichrist and all those things. So two-thirds can be wiped out. And you can see why. You got 180,000 missiles pointed at Israel right now from all directions. So it's going to be a heavy toll. And the ones basically going to be saved would be a small remnant of the 144,000 and the one that have turned to Jesus in this last hour. But the rest aren't going to be blessed because they didn't return to Jesus. There's no just blessing because you're Israel,
Right.
Is Tomahawk still there?
I'm sorry, Tom. I didn't understand. Oh, yeah, there's Tom.
Yeah, I just had to get off of mute real quick.
You shared with me last night?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Tomahawk and I were in a Facebook chat. And we each got a word from the Lord. He gave one for me to give to Tomahawk, and Tomahawk got one for me that we can share, I guess, if you want. But he had a dream he shared with me, so I told him he should share it.
Okay. It was actually like a couple months ago, but I never told anyone. It's just really vivid. It's stuck in my mind. But I was actually in the car with my dad, and he was driving really fast. And I was with my brothers and sisters, well, one of them. And we ended up, like, my dad ended up driving super fast to the point, like, we went on this bump, and we ended up, like, just popping out of the car. Like, we were just left there. And then we looked up, and I was like, I looked up, and I saw the sky was, like, really red, and I saw a couple of moons in the sky for some reason. I don't know why. But I ended up seeing, like, these, like, locusts, like, coming out, like, groups flying over, and I was like, oh, we got to get to, like, safety and stuff. And I ended up going to my house, my old house in Germany, and there was, like, big spiders, like, popping out of the, like, the ceiling, and I was just, like, trying to beat them. And I ended up like after that, I ended up like immediately being taken up like above like the heavens, I guess. And I was looking above them, and there was these people, like really like beautiful like people. They're walking in like a group, but like not too close to each other, but they're like walking in the same direction, and some were like, they were all wearing robes, like white, and some were carrying like these gifts that had like these like this silky fabric that was like kind of see-through. It was like on top of it, and it kind of flowed to the side of them. It was on top of the gift that they were carrying, and they were just walking somewhere. And when they were walking, it would look like ice, but it wasn't ice. It was just like, I don't know. It was really weird looking, but it was beautiful. It was like, I don't know. It was weird. It was just really like, I don't know. Like everything was just clean looking. But yeah, that was the dream.
Wow.
That's cool. These are the kinds of things, Tom, that people will remember, and sometimes we can connect down the road. It's be very interesting to follow that. Mm-hmm. Interesting that it took you back through Germany, and you saw different. That's cool. That's. I think he's gonna probably give you something else that'll put a time stamp on that, maybe. Seems.
I was thinking cool. It was like the bride up in heaven already with their gifts that they've been given, and then all of the great tribulation happening on earth is what I had gathered from it. Because
yeah.
At first I was thinking, maybe that's angels waiting to give the gifts to the bride, but then I'm like, no, the bride is in heaven before all the locusts come out and everything, so.
Well, you know, honestly, what it brought, I think you're right, Tana. The thing in concert with that it brought to my mind, and I don't want to be presumptuous or anything, but Thomas, it almost sounds like it was representative of you joining us in a group, like transitioning from your earthly family to your heavenly family. Not to set them aside, but I don't know. I don't want to be presumptuous, but.
There was this one person in the front. He looked like Jesus, but I knew it wasn't. He looked like him. Like like typical like Jesus would, you know? He
cool.
was like in the front.
Hmm.
And the rest
were. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, ask him about it some more. Maybe he'll give you some new insight.
Because
okay. That sounds really cool.
Oh, Thomas, tell him the number. Oh, go ahead, Jerry, go ahead.
No, I just really encouragement. That's all I was going to say. There's more if we want it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So Thomas, I had Thomas ask Jesus what time he was coming to get him. Thomas, tell him what number, what time he told you.
1:33.
Wow.
And then I had Tom. I tell Tomahawk. I said so to ask him what else, what he wants to tell us, because I was trying to play. We were going to play telephone, and then he said, "What did
yeah.
he say?" He said, "Everyone has seen. They have all seen, or something like that." Is that what he said, Tomahawk?
Oh yeah, they have all seen. I don't know.
And so
what?
And I was thinking, is that message for all seen? And then we figured it out. He's in reference to him asking the time of being taken. And so basically all of the RCTs seeing basically their time. But the message was they have all seen. So that was interesting.
That is.
So that was our mission. All of them have seen.
And Tony, you said your time was before 12, which is
yeah.
1:33, and my time is like 10:33 in your time.
Right. Yep. Exactly.
Wow. Oh, well, Thomas, where are you roughly? I'm confused.
Florida.
Okay.
Oh,
well,
Florida.
So you're. Yeah.
Toaster.
I'm hanging out in Sarah Bell's neighborhood, but over the last few years, we've basically been on East Coast time. And so I can relate to that. But actually, see, if you're 133, Tana, yeah, it's probably what you said. But anyway, yeah, it's 3 hours different. Well, we will see. The other thing, Judy, Lord told Judy, you know, whatever the times are and the things, experiences, we expect he's going to make it work out. And, you know, and I have for a long time had a consciousness that basically God creates and controls time. And I think that's one of the reasons he can be so dramatic, among other things, about picking just the right moment to do things, not too late, but not too soon. And to our never-ending human frustration, I think. but at least surprise, maybe not frustration, but at least surprise. But I think he's able to do that much more freely than from our perspective we do, we think about. So, Tana, do you have...
See, for me, before 12 could be any time. Did I have what?
Well, I wanted to be sure you said that you had a word too, and I just wanted to be sure that you had a chance to share everything you had.
Well, Tomac and I played telephone on each other, and so Jesus gave a word for him, and he gave a word for me. I don't know if he wants if Tomahawk wants.
I don't care.
Well, go ahead.
Oh, you want me to say it?
Yeah.
Well, he's going first.
Go for it, because I'm looking for it on Facebook.
Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna have to look. Very high up.
I had it, but
okay. You know, while you guys are looking, I'll start the mini process I have of a download. I'm going to say two things about the upcoming days. Alana mentioned how primed she was for today, Yom Kippur. I mentioned yesterday a little bit about it. I have two more things about it. One, I want to point out that the official sighted moon, which I don't normally reach for, but in this particular case, I think it fits, especially on Rosh Hashanah, and the month of Rosh Hashanah, which we're in. I just want to point out the official sighted moon happened, I think, 2 days after the current calendar reflects that it might have. So on a strict biblical basis, we're a couple of days out. So that could make, for example, Yom Kippur, in a true biblical sense, the 6th rather than the 4th. And in keeping with that, I mentioned a long time ago, and Ben and Tomahawk and I don't think Jared's called in that I see, but those guys certainly may not be aware of this, but I had some really, really powerful leadings and experiences that pointed me to the 28th of June. Hmm. And then later on, I had a vision which took me through several weeks of the calendar, and I thought it showed me the 28th of July, and now I'm wondering if it showed me actually the 28th of June. It showed me one of the J months of the 28th. Anyway, and then what it did was the calendar was represented, each page represented a week, and he showed me flipping backwards, like from a current time back towards the July or June month. And so each page represented a week, and he was saying, and he was showing me week, or and he was saying week, and then he said Pentecost. And I wasn't really sure what to do with that. And, of course, our expectations were so high over the last couple of months that I didn't want to look this far down the road and so on. Well, I just realized when I was yesterday that in that vision he told me, he literally said to me, Pentecost twice. Well, a Pentecost is 50 days. And so two of them are 100 days. 100 days from June 28th, where I had both a powerful experience and an extremely powerful leadings towards it, would have been the evening of the 28th, comes to the evening of the 5th and the beginning of the 6th. It's exactly 100 days. Mm-hmm. And that also brings me to the Sunday-Monday overnight overlap, which he's pointed me to several times over the last several months, and we've talked about that frequently. So I'm just saying, I'm certainly going to be in this whole Yom Kippur mode, pretty high level of expectation through Monday, because I believe he was probably pointing me to this. And of course, that's just what, 2 or 3 days, depending on how you count, before the blood moon. Okay, Thomas, so if you have your thing, your word.
Yeah. Alrighty. This is the word I got for Tana. Oh, okay. Through your walk with me, you have been so patient. Those who don't have me in their heart, you treat as dear as you would to me, even though many do not show it back because of the pride that has taken over them, and that only makes you want to see me more. And I will pour waves of my spirit over and through you, and you'll be one in me and in my love. The children in the heavens will be drawn to you as they are drawn to me. That's it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, that was a wonderful word. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, wow.
And then I got this for Tomahawk from Jesus. He is my son. I love him. He will sit with me in his glory and paint for me. I am only asking you to draw me a portrait of my love, my bride, adorned in her jewels. He will know what I mean. He's a brilliant painter and will be adored by all. His love for me is abounding, never ending. I am so pleased with his progress in these few short months. His weight is no more. He is coming home to me in a blink. Hold on, my son, we fly. Love your Jesus.
Wow.
Wow.
I like it.
Wow.
Cool. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to point out that we've already gone mostly through the hour. And it's been unbelievably it's been unbelievably effortless. And and I thought I was just going to chill and, you know, play a little bit of music, anticipate going into the second hour, which we probably will do. And but before we officially get through with that hour, there is one thing I wanted to read that was passed on to me. Rhea, who I don't see in chat tonight, but I don't think. She had some things that she forwarded to Judy and said it was okay for us to read on the air. So I'm going to try to read that communication for everyone so we can hear it, because she gets some very powerful communications from the Lord. And it starts out, this is Rhea. Is it okay if I share the many clues and hints the Lord keeps giving me? He is openly reassuring me he's coming to keep me from falling into despair because of the terrible trials pressing in. So I wondered if there is someone else being tried to the absolute limit, needing this encouragement too! Exclamation point. And then she put in brackets, teardrop. So she's really feeling pressed. Okay, here's the latest. This morning I was looking online on a news site in one of the other languages I speak when I noticed a trailer of a new kids movie. One thing you have to understand, I never click on those things. I mean, never. But I kept hearing in my mind, click, click on it. Ha ha. Guess what was right at the beginning, translated into English, she says. quote, the greatest heroes are the ones that arrive at the very moment you least expect.
Yeah,
then, right after those words, it shows an escape scene. Big smiles, XOXO. And so, I know it was God, and I love you. And so, so the quote was, the greatest heroes are the ones that arrive at the moment, the very moment you least expect. And the Lord directly directed her to that message. And then there was an escape scene. So,
wow.
I know Bill has gone back to this frequently, you know, a day you don't expect. And, you know, we're very much aware that that is part of the teaching. And so I don't know, you know, we'll have to see how this comes around and what kind of time we have. But I know, based on what I've just mentioned, that I'm going to be really strongly watching here for the next few days. And I just have a sense. I can't, I don't know, I'm not sure if I can put it. Honestly, I've had really a hard time kind of making complete thoughts lately because I'm just sort of perpetually distracted. It's like when I try to talk to him, he sort of finds ways to distract me before I get out too many complete thoughts. I've had a few complete communications with him, but I just have this sense that a lot of us have completed very much of what he wants us to experience. And we have, I just want to point out here, old Bill Poofer stage. And what stage are you at, Bill? Are you speaking on the phone
17?
Today? Or he is, let's see, I got to look. I want to do the Poofer update here. He is stage 17 Poofer, and he's called
yep.
in because I think that's what we're going to go over. He may be muted, which is just fine. And,
I'm here.
And oh, there you are. Hey, Bill.
Hi, Bill.
Here.
Sure, Bill.
Hey.
Hey, Bill. I love you.
So, hang in there. We're gonna ride out these next couple of days and see what he does because, you know, he's getting me a little bit militant, and I have avoided arguments with pavement so far today. But the day is not over. So I'll just have to wait and see how it goes. Okay, so it's just telling me 90 seconds, so we're getting pretty close to the end of our broadcast time.
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank everybody in chat, and I know Jude will be back there later. I'll try to hang out in that too, but and I actually have a sandwich that I can eat while I'm doing that. And so, anyway, we'll stick around here, and I want to see if I can remember where it is. I did want to try to play a little bit more music, so we're going to thank the Lord and end our
play the BG
official broadcast. okay. See if I can do that. I want to try to get it on before that. Here we go.
Yay.
Oh, yay.
Wonderful.
I am happy to announce that we also have Raina calling in.
Oh,
Raina, are you speaking today or are you just listening?
Hi, guys.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi, Raina.
Okay.
Love you, Raina.
I love you guys.
Love you too.
Earlier, Jay was talking about the blood moon, and I remember in March, Holy Spirit told me the rapture is going to happen around blood moon, but we are going first. So that reminds me of that morning when I woke up. It wasn't, I mean, the first blood moon wasn't happened yet when I had that dream, when Holy Spirit told me that. And now we are going to go through the second blood moon. I'm asking myself, when he told me around blood moon, what he mean by that? Because if it's not this one, we have to wait for the third one, you know?
Interesting. Well, certainly around around the blood moon. Judy and little John were told between 7 and 10 days. I'm sorry, 7 days to 2 weeks between our Enoch walk translation and the rapture. If we would happen to go on the overnight between the 5th and 6th, 1, 8, 9. The 10th day would be the last day of Tabernacles for the rapture.
But he told me we are going first. That means our group,
yeah.
the red group, we are the red group, he told me. The red group is going first. The beige group, the ivory one, it's the one who is going to be the rapture. And you say around. He did not say in the blood moon week. He said around blood moon. I was like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So around. So I'm gonna. If I look at sort of what he has me looking at right now, and what you're saying, Raina, around the blood moon could be maybe both sides of it. So we could go on one side of the blood moon. And the worldwide rapture might be on the other side of the blood moon. But how does that sound to you? Because that would literally be around, you know, both sides. Yeah. So, but what I wanted to, that's really what I wanted. That's, I'm glad you brought that up, Raina, because there's a lot of people that have had some signs, and even Carol, who's had a super strong vision about the blood moon. And what I was looking at here was just 7, 8, 9, sort of the 10th. The 10th day from the 5th and the 6th is the 15th of October, but that's the 21st of Tishri, so it has a 21 on it, which would make Roman happy. But the thing that's very interesting about that is it is the very last day of Feast of Tabernacles. And one of the really intriguing things about booths or tabernacles, or Sukkot in their language, is that there's a specific instruction. They literally make temporary enclosures that they sleep in overnight and throughout that feast. And they are specifically instructed to leave gaps in the slats of the roof so that they can admire the works of God. And there's an implication, of course, that there's going to be wondrous works at some point, and that is very interesting. And then I'm, and it is one of the feasts where there was a mandatory pilgrimage as part of their thing. And the other thing is, right after booths or tabernacles, there's two additional days where they have observances, biblical or Torah type observances, and they are separate, but they follow each day. And in sum total, it's a celebration and then also a giving of the law. And I believe after the rapture, there will essentially be a new dispensation. It would fit either a reissuing of the law, but I think more particularly kind of a hybrid of combination of a reissuing of the law, but also an observance that after the worldwide rapture, it's all the Christians who've been taken by God. And I believe the faithful in the Hebrew nation will recognize that. And then they'll go into mourning and recognition of Christ as the Messiah. So it will be the beginning, from an Israeli point of view, of the Messianic age for those who will recognize him. So I really think that that's... So I think that that's going to be a big... sorry, a little noise going on here. That's really interesting to me because that would fit right into that time frame. And then Reina's statement of around the blood moon, which is an interesting kind of direction from the Lord.
Yeah.
Very interesting. And we know Carol's been pointed at the blood moon, and obviously it's a big marker for many people who are paying attention, without any doubt.
I mean, it will be on the 8th, right?
Yep.
This month, right?
Yep. Yes, that's right.
Hopefully tomorrow, the 5th, we are out. I can't take it no more. I want to go out.
Yeah, we all do.
Go, Daddy.
Yeah, we hear you, honey.
Yeah, I was moved to write a very brief email today. That it's like we're back in school, you know. Judy didn't expect to have to go back to homeschooling little John, and the Lord just hit me with this comparison today that homeschooling is like an analogy for a rapture-centric church, because homeschooling, you still do your observances, you still do your teaching and your learning, but you're not doing it in the four walls of the school building. We're doing it in sort of our virtual setting or a home setting, and then as we do that, hold on, I want to word it a lot better than I'm going to say it, I think. And it says, so we're not in a four wall church. We have meetings and study him, and we didn't think we would have to go back in the fall, but here we are, which was exactly Judy's circumstance. She didn't think she was going to have to go back to do that, but then she's doing it again. But then I said, because we are like little children, we can't wait for recess. We need to go play. And I think that's what we want to do. We just want to go play, because he's got us in this setting where we didn't expect to be. We didn't expect it to go this long. And, you know, if we followed him through here, but we also have high expectations of being with him. And so we just want to go play. So let us go play, Lord. That's my recommendation.
Amen.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, and to fit, I believe there's a Heat game today, and someone had a lot of prophecies of Heat players, and there's Heat game this week. I think there's a Heat game on October 7th. There's a Heat game on the 14th. There's a Heat game on the 21st. A lot of them are on Tuesdays, which the bride gets married on Tuesdays in Jewish wedding. So that would be the rapture.
Yeah.
So the rapture happening on any one of those days.
Yeah, definitely. I pondered that a little bit, as a wedding day.
Yeah, but we are not going to be raptured. We are going to be translated. That means we are going first.
We're going first.
And that doesn't mean we are not a part of the bride, but we are going before the bride. Because that week we are going to take is to help some of the bride decide, because I remember once I had a dream. I was helping someone to take a decision to go for the rapture. The group I was with, which is some of you guys, you left me behind because I didn't want to let that lady, and it was like hard to convince her to give her life. But she's a bride. We are going to help some. I mean, that week we are not going to stay somewhere without doing nothing. We are going to have a special mission, like helping the bride being ready. See what I mean?
Yes.
We are not going to
saying.
Be alert, but we are going to help some of difficult ones to take their last decision.
Right.
Yeah.
We're going to go out, but then we're going to come back down and help prepare. Some of us are going to come back down to help prepare the rapture bride to get ready. Yeah.
Yeah. I just always thought we don't have to go on the day of the wedding. We could go the day before the wedding.
We are going 1 week before the wedding.
Just,
to have the
wedding. Yeah,
to be
exactly.
For the wedding.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
so
it's kind of right
people
there.
In between. Okay, I trust, I don't, I trust, I hear. I don't, it's like they can't take a decision like the real one, so we are going to help them. And I see us like, we do not have wings, but the way I saw myself, I was like, I don't know how to swim, but I was swimming in the air to go up to reach you.
Wow. Yeah, come on.
It was really cool.
Hopefully you have lots of company.
I think so, especially in the Lord of Rapture.
When you find out you are in a special force for the Lord, it's like, it's awesome. Me, when I find out that, I said, wow, who I am, you know, I'm nobody, but he chose me for something really important.
Oh, sure, honey.
It's special, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I feel good because the Lord himself chose me.
Right. Yeah, you know, I think a lot of us have had some kind of inkling or another of that. He's given me some really, really strong encouragements over the years, and I just sort of like thank him for it and then try to set it aside because I just want to keep my humility. And I'm not saying anything about myself because, when you consider doing his work, I mean, it's all a tremendous honor. And so exciting, you know, when your heart's for him and you know you're useful for him and that you're going to do or are doing something appointed by him. It's so cool. It's so exciting to know that. And it's also a huge encouragement. I mean, what a blessing of an encouragement while we face some of the challenges that we do. And, you know, I'll just say lay it right out there, honestly, you know, he's got us in a very, and particularly in our group here, he's got us in a very unusual place, and he's kind of validated our disdain for the common everyday worldly considerations. And it's an interesting walk because he's sort of encouraged us to disdain some of the things that other people would religiously consider important. And he just keeps turning our hearts back to him. And it's really a heart walk. If it's possible, something even beyond faith, I think. It's a heart walk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've been hearing so much prophecies about this and that and this and that, and I can't even put it together anymore. It's like, that's why, I'm not even trying anymore. That's what I was talking about earlier, just, you know, trusting that he's coming soon. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I've been, you know, I was talking about the you know how people are talking about like the 3 days of darkness and stuff, and then like the other day I was thinking, okay, well that can't happen because, you know, it says when the rapture happens it'll be like a normal day. Well, if there's 3 days of darkness and all this stuff is going on, that wouldn't be like a normal day. All right, but then like I was reading somebody else talking about that again today, and they were breaking it down like, no, there's going to be multiple raptures, and this is I can't even make sense of it anymore. I'm just like blah, 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 whatever. You know,
right.
Just throw my hands up and say, "All right, look, I just know you're coming soon, Lord. So I'm just, you know, I'm trusting in that, you know."
Yeah, it's going to be. You know, we don't have an absolutely clear understanding. You know, I do. I have increasingly over time come to think that there's going to be successive waves of people leaving, and I would even back that up scripturally, because if you look at the letters to the churches in Revelation, you'll see that their dispensation, meaning the manner in which they are held, or the manner in which, how can I say, the prophecy over each church is different for several of them. Okay, the Church of Philadelphia is told that they're going to be saved from all things. Smyrna is told that they might suffer or be imprisoned for 10 days, and so on. There's other descriptions, too, that vary one from another. So I have been sort of increasingly led to consider that there may be multiple waves of people taken by God, and it was only later that I realized that Revelation backed it up when you actually look at the individual letters of the churches. It's not just one thing. It's several. It appears to be several, certainly. And we're well into that. In terms of, I think, you know, we're right there. And in terms of understanding, I don't know if we're going to get much more clarity than that. But he seems to be validating our sense of urgency, our expectations, and he does not seem to be offended that we're more focused on him than the issues of the world. And as long as that's the case, that's, you know, that's how we ought to pursue things, for sure.
Yeah.
One of these broadcasts is going to be our last.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, and it's probably going to come really soon. I mean, we have really been through a huge cycle really the bulk of the year. You know, the Lord fell on Little John on the 19th. I think Judy feels like she can't absolutely say, but she just doesn't believe the Lord's really going to take us, you know, in time past that. And but there's so many things that we're feeling and experiencing that we really feel like it's going to be gone. Yeah, we're going to be gone before then. Although that time at this rate is coming up pretty quickly, and he has managed to preserve us and keep us going in our condition a lot longer, I think, than most of us expected, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't want to go November 19th. I don't want to go November 19th of 2014, but I know a Jewish bride is prepared for a year waiting for the bridegroom.
Mm-hmm. Right. And if it's a Hebrew year, it could be more than 365 days. I'm just throwing that out there because I've looked at it.
Yeah, but we're not going there. We're going now, today. Tomorrow.
Yeah, right. We don't want to do that.
But I really, honestly know that he has pointed me very strongly here to this weekend and even Monday, which is the case. And that I found some really intriguing connections here for this for the 5th and the 6th. So, including one that I'm not saying, but just hang in there, everybody, because. He'll keep us going for sure.
You know what, we can take it not We could take it not from Judy on November 19th. We'll take it from the other piece of trumpet from before, September. So we're there. We're a year. We're past the year now.
Yeah.
The trumpet piece of trumpet is 1 year. So thank you, Jesus. We've been purified for that year, and we are ready to go.
And all in favor say aye.
Amen.
Aye. Amen.
Aye.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I almost have 2 years, so.
Well, Jerry,
I mean, I have like 2 months left for me to have 2 years since I'm waiting. I can't take it.
Wow. You know, honestly, I'm not in the worst shape, I think, the worst circumstances, but I can tell you I feel it too. And what he was sharing with me yesterday, I couldn't be like that very many days. Let's put it that way. There's no way. So it's both a privilege, but it also creates a sense of urgency that is hard to express. I know he's totally, yeah.
You know, I really, Bill here, appreciated what Raina just said about translation. Well, I've been noticing that folks have been talking rapture. But thanks, Raina, for saying that, because I've been really asking him, are you sure? Is there translation before rapture? And it makes sense to me, because just exactly what Raina said, that there needs to be some help, some training, somebody to go out and harvest and get the bride prepared.
Yeah.
And if you do the rapture first, then it's all over.
Right.
But I totally agree with what you said, Jerry. This week has been unbelievable. Having to go through and sit down and go back to school for a whole week and take this test,
I prayed
earnestly. I said, no, don't make me do this. Don't make me do this. I can't absorb it. I just can't focus on it. And I couldn't. I passed, but dang. It was a struggle.
You just described my life. Exactly. That's how I am 24/7.
Yeah, I just can't. And I don't want to do it either. I don't want to get into the conversations. I don't want to talk about their IT-centric stuff and, you know, their mindset and their thinking. The way they're thinking is so bizarre. But I don't want to go there. I can't. I just can't go there.
No.
It's like,
love you, Bill.
I can feel a veil over
I'm
just about everything.
With one. You're talking about friends. I'm living with one, my husband. He doesn't even believe a thing I say, God say. It's like, it's really, sometimes they, what are you doing here? You know, if you can be the same boat as me. I mean, what are you doing here? What am I doing here? I need to go to my daddy because you don't believe what my daddy told me, so... It's like friends, people you don't know, it's something, but people you're living with, it's worse.
You know? Right.
Oh, my family doesn't believe me either. They think I'm nuts, you know. But I don't care. You plant seeds.
And this sense of frustration and anger is just about ready to boil over. I'm just saying, you know, enough of this. I've had enough. Of this, and if something's got to break, it just can't go on like this. I can't focus
Bill,
at work and do this.
Bill is now stage 22.
Oh, wow.
Somebody's got to keep up with it, I'm telling you.
Oh, my.
They will believe when we go, and they will prepare for the rapture. Can't wait for that.
Yeah. Amen.
It's going to be serious when they wake up. Uh-oh. Where's Anna? Uh-oh. Where's the kid? I'm by myself. Oopsie. She told me. I have to prepare.